Welcome to the Word of Life Tabernacle podcast, where we know one word from God can change your life today. From wherever you are listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
Those of you that have your Bibles, open with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. And I believe I have the word of the Lord for us this morning. Amen. It's not, I don't go any, meeny, miny, mo and pick something to preach. I pray and I say, okay, God, you said he acknowledged you in all your ways. What would you have me say today? And I'll hear the voice and I'll just follow the scriptures that he gave me. And I write down those things that he gave me. Just like John was in the spirit and he wrote down the things. That's what the Bible comes from. It's inspired teaching by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Because see, the Holy Ghost knows what we all need. I'm not that smart. But if I hear him, he will reveal the truth. He'll comfort us. He'll strengthen us. He'll give us exactly what we all need. All right, so this morning I'm going to teach from the subject. I'm going to call this message Overcoming Weariness. Overcoming Weariness. And I want to use as a subtopic physical and mental burnout. Physical and mental burnout. I think some of you know what I'm talking about sometimes. We just get weary, tired, all of us do, even the young men, shall utterly faint and get weary, the best of us. And if you haven't come to that point in your life yet, I say to you, keep on living. There'll come a day you'll wake up and I'm tired. It might be a thing, it might be a person, it might be a situation, job, family, I don't know, but sometimes things frustrate us and look like nothing is changing, which is a lie because everything that we can see, it's temporal and subject to change. The word of God is eternal. The word of God is going to last all of this temporary stuff. I don't care what it ain't lining up like the word. Before Jesus come back, everything going to fall in line with this word. But sometimes throughout impatience, we can't wait on that. And that's where stress comes from. Stress says to you that the situation must change right now, and it's not changing. And because what you've been believing for to change it, because it hasn't changed as of yet, it's creating stress. Faith says everything that you can see that's not like what you desire is temporary, subject to change, and it will change. But stress keeps reminding you, it's been 3 days. See, stress keeps a record. 3 months, 3 years. Look at that. And what happens is we build up all this mental stress and begins to burn us out mentally. Because what have not happened? And in the process of looking at what has not happened that you're believing for, this is what we do. We forget what God has already done, which will create praise. Lord, I know you ain't changed my song yet, but I praise God. You paid my call. I'm going to praise you for that. See, we going to stress it, but look at what ain't happened. Look, you don't have that money. Look at her, how she's acting. See? And so, I want to talk about this. I'm going to talk about it from a practical standpoint. Let's look at Galatians chapter 6. And let's look at it. Verse 7 through 9. And I'm reading from the King James. As a matter of fact, I'm going to get us all involved. Let's get some verbal pronunciation of the word of God. Let's all read together in unison, starting with verse 7. Ready? Read. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And let us be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Overcoming weariness. It's amazing how many people read this set of scriptures and get something negative out of this. And it was all talking about the positive. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. You can't scoff at God and say, you said this, but you didn't do it. He's talking about his word, what he said. He said, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. He's talking about sowing the word of God. Whatever God says, you sow that. Now, if you sow to the flesh, and that's where people get off. Well, if you sow to the flesh, you know, you're lying, they'll come back to get you. Whatever you sow, you hurt someone, they're going to hurt you. And we take off on this negative road, and we forget about the whole context of the scripture. Of course you sow to the flesh, you go to other flesh. You sow in the natural, that ain't just mean sin. That means if you sow to television, that ain't going to give you nothing. Sow your time in TV, ain't nothing spiritual coming back. Sow your time in reading the newspaper, ain't no spiritual coming back. But he goes on to say, but if we sow to the spirit or to the word of God, my word is spirit, you shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. There's a harvest. In other words, everything you do towards seeking God, reading the word, speaking the word, coming to church, praying for anything you sow in the spirit, there's a new season for that to come back. And the deception comes when we forget about what we have sown and concentrate on the negative, what we haven't seen. He said, and then he goes on and he closes it. Put up verse 9 again. He takes for granted, since I gave you a choice, you're going to sow the word of God. You're going to keep on praying. You're going to keep on doing well. You're going to keep on coming to church. You're going to keep on walking in love. Don't sow hate, because hate of God. You're going to keep on, and let us. See, forget about that. I know you just heard. Since you know now, if you sow through the Spirit, don't be deceived. There is a harvest. For every prayer that you sow, every seed that you sow, there is an harvest. Let us, the believer, be not weary in well-doing. For in due season, you shall reap if you faint not. There's a due season for everybody. Someone say, when is due season? Let me ask you a question. When is your bill due? When's your car payment, house payment due? Don't answer. Due season is when it's due. And the difference between us and God is God knows when due season is. We start setting dates, which God knows nothing about a calendar. God is I am. He's omnipresent. When you start talking about in 30 days, I'm leaving for this to happen. In 42 days, I mean, I've been standing for 3 weeks for this, and I ain't seen it yet. And then when 3 weeks come up, then your due season over. We put pressure on us from God and said, it's going to come to pass. See, that's where the deception comes in. Because you set a date. You set a time. And because you didn't see it on the date you set, God got a due date. There's a due season for each one of us. Otherwise, it says be not deceived. You can't mock God. God said it. I didn't say it. God says he'll meet your needs according to his riches and glory. God says by my stripes you are healed. God says when you give, it'll be given unto you again. I didn't say it. Don't let the devil deceive you. Anything God said, there is a due season for the word of God, every promise to come to pass in your life. But what stops it from God? We get weary, tired. Man, I ain't seen nothing yet. That boy getting worse and worse, about to wear me out. That job situation, Lord, I wanted to shoot my supervisor, but Lord, I'm just talking. I know you don't do it. I'm just having thoughts that run through your mind. Because we're human beings. And all of us are flawed. I don't care how much you're sitting out there looking like, praise the Lord, hallelujah. You can shake and shake all you want. There's some flaws in all of us. And we get tired. And when we get tired, it mentally first, then it causes physical you to get physically tired. That's why it's good to write things down. Off the paper, off your mind, and the stress that it put on your mind. The older you get, I've been doing it. I'm a person, I like to write. If we're going on a trip, we're going to go on vacation, I write down everything. Amen. Beach shoes, this, that, phone charger, get this, this, everything that I want to do, feed Nemo. Do this, do all of that, everything that, because I don't want to have to put stress on my mind trying to remember, but some of y'all, I got it, that's why you about to go. It puts stress on you. You can't remember, it's too much in life, life has come. If life was still simple, it would be easy. But life ain't simple anymore. It used to be if you had a cold and you know, mama say, go to the store and get Vicks. Vicks Vapor Rub. And you just put it on your chest and that was it. But now you go TriMedix 3, so-and-so 5, this with codeine, this with non-sleeping so-and-so. Do you want to get so-and-so Robitussin 4 or with a decongestant non-sleep? Help me. You got to almost go to school to get something simple. Because I don't want to get the wrong kind. And it's just too much, and we get tired. So since we're talking about overcoming weariness, let's give a definition of what weary is. I'm a practical guy. Overcoming physical and mental burnout, because off the mind, put it on paper, then it's off your mind. That's one way of relieving stress. Weary, to lose heart and become discouraged. What's the opposite of discouraged? Courage. When you got courage, you'll fight the devil. You'll fight for your children. You feel like fighting for your healing. But when you become discouraged, you lose courage to become mentally and physically tired. And what happens is we have all this stuff on our mind. What ain't happened, and why ain't this happened, and look at that child, and I've been praying about this, and look like that ain't changed, job situation, kids, marriage, family, and what mentally begins to make you physically tired and wow, and we become discouraged. I'm talking about the human beings. I ain't talking about y'all super Christians that can't feel nothing. I'm talking about the human being. Amen. Even the young men shut up and affect the best of us. I didn't say you want to quit. I'm just telling how you feel. You get mentally tired. And when some people get mentally tired, like I said, it causes you to be physically tired. That's why you can go to bed at night and lay there in the image of sleep all you want. But if your mind still builds problem, get up, go to work, do this, carrying all that stuff with you, you wake up tired because you couldn't shut your mind down. In other words, your soul is tired. Your mind, your emotions, it's your body laid there, and you say, oh, I'm so tired. That's because the mind won't shut. When you can get that mind to get quiet and restore it, that's why David said he restores my soul and your body. That's true refreshment. So we all go through that. And the Bible said, let us be not weary, discouraged, in well-doing, doing the best you can. Even though it didn't come out right, even though it wasn't perfect. For we shall reap in due season. Everyone shall due season. There's a time for the church to be built. There's a time for you to pay off your house. There's a time for your children to come in. There's a time, matter of fact, put up my first statement, and it'll lead me into what I'm trying to say. Life consists of different seasons. Keep sowing good seeds regardless of adverse circumstance. What happened is we've been praying, we've been giving, we've been coming to church, we've been doing everything we know how to do. And look like adversity is still there, so we get tired mentally first. And once you get mentally tired, your body says, man, I ain't going to church. I ain't going to do this. I ain't even cleaning up today. I'm not doing the dishes. You get tired, but it's because so many mental things that you've retained in your mind that haven't happened, and you rehearse them over and over. And when I say you, actually it's the enemy. That's what he does. Let us be not weary, lest we consider Jesus, lest we faint in our minds. That's what he works on your soul. Your soul reminding you, look at that. That ain't changed yet. Look at him. Look at her. Look at your son. He's still on drugs. Look at you. Yeah, look. Look at your bank account. Ain't no money. You still got those bills. Oh, yeah. You so-and-so behind. Look, RSO, you owed it, blah, blah, blah. All of this stuff. And sometimes we just get tired. Now, let me go ahead and tell you the antidote before I get too far into this, why we get tired. The truth is, people burn out. We're talking about physical and mental burnout. It's simply because of lack of fellowship time with God. We get disconnected from the vine. I am the vine. You're the branch. Except you abide in me, you can do nothing of yourself. And what happens, we get busy. Kids, soccer mom, paying bills, got to do this. Doctor's appointment, got to run and do this. I forgot to pay this. Got to get this straight. Got to stop by the so-and-so office, do this. And we begin to neglect the word of God, which is the sap that flows from the vine out in our lives. And he said, when you do that, you begin to wither and dry up. And what happens is we don't come to church. We ain't reading the word. We don't get the CDs. We're not broadcast. We got too busy. And then when the devil hits you with a problem, with some relationship problem or sickness in your body or financial, then you at your weakest point. And it makes you feel even more discouraged, because if you would have been built up, if you've been spiritually energized, you could attack that thing with a positive attitude, but you get tired. And it seems like what the devil does, it's kind of like stuff that's been on this week. Seems like, boom, he was just coming from everywhere. Bam, bam, so-and-so, so-and-so passed. Boom, boom, pastor, you need to pass. And that's why I'm saying, oh, I know my God. I'm preaching this to me and no one else. Because I start getting tired. I'm like, all right, y'all don't want me to check out. Somebody be praying for me. Because your mind be going on beyond, because you got a light beyond all of this. You know. Thank God for the anointing. This is my most powerful position. Because I know if I can just get to that pulpit, when that anointing comes on me, it's going to remove burdens. Straight, everything got to go. Hallelujah. Thank God, that's the good part of getting to preach. Even though you did with all this, you know there's an anointing, praise God. And when it come on me, it's going to jump on you. Hallelujah. Because I'm going to take what God gave me, and I'm going to tell you how to overcome the weariness and tiredness with that same word. That's where these messages grow out of. And so that's why I made sure that everything I was doing, even though I was physically tired, I kept my earplug in, and someone preaching to me. I was doing stuff, but they was preaching. I got to stay connected to the vine. Stay connected to the vine. Stay connected to the vine. Stay connected. I got to stay in that word. I need someone preaching to me. Faith coming by hearing by the word of God. But we get so busy, then we get mentally and then physically tired. And you never know how close you are to due season. This evening, what you've been believing for, your breakthrough could be 1 hour away. Your breakthrough could be happening while you're sitting here now. God could be changing that child, moving on that job. You never know how close you are to breakthrough. And the closer you get to breakthrough, the more the devil up the attack and the pressure and trying to get. If you all think a little bit, if the enemy is fighting me, trying to get me this hard to quit, I must be closer. So I must be right. It's got to be something on the other side of this. Amen. If I can just get through. And you know, it ain't about, Lord, get me to the end of the year. Sometimes, Lord, get me through this day. Lord, give me this day. If I can just get through the day, I can be stronger tomorrow. Amen. So there's different seasons. I've passed along enough high season, good season, fun season, building season, funeral seasons, time to dance season, funny seasons. And I've learned to enjoy whatever season you are so that you don't feel, if you're having a good season, you better enjoy it. Go ahead. If you just got to enjoy that car, eat your bologna sandwich, drink your Kool-Aid, have your party, whatever you doing that's happening, enjoy it, because it's going to be a fight soon. And you need some balance. I mean, you know, if you got hell on your job and hell at your home and everywhere you go, hell, that's why you burn out. I need a relief. And when people get tired, they look for relief. And sometimes we go to the wrong thing. I just need me a drink. Lord, I mean, I know I ain't right, but Lord, I'm just going to get me a Bud Light. It ain't heavy. I know the Lord understands. I ain't talking no one in here. I'm talking to them people streaming. I know y'all don't. Nah. Please ask these three. To everything, there is a season and a time to everything. every purpose under heaven. Why did so-and-so die? Why did so-and-so? There's a time to build a church. There's a time not to build. There's a time to go to Africa. There's a time I noticed in my life how God had me doing mission work in one season and going and building and preaching to as an apostle to Africa for about 8 years. And then he said, stop doing that. I want you to stop building buildings. There's a time and purpose. Timing is essential to success. Understanding what season it is. And a time to be born is a time to die. Just like we celebrate that child, so-and-so, there's going to be funerals, there's going to be time. And we like, oh, my God, and those sad times, good times. But that's life. Don't get weary. See, the key is don't get weary. Time to pluck up. Time to pluck up that which is planted. In other words, sowing and reaping. A time to weep. There have been sad things that happened in my life. Your life. They're bringing tears, and that's normal. Don't become some spiritual android that think that as a Christian you ain't supposed to cry. Jesus wept. Weeping is a form of healing. We ain't talking about grief. Grief is of the devil. Weeping may endure for night, but joy comes in the morning. Weeping and get all that stuff out of you, and then that joy come through and hit you. But there's times. This is just life. It ain't that you are going through anything worse than someone else's life is hitting you. Time to mourn, a time to dance. We can go on and on. But the key is don't get weary. See what happened? Man, this happened and that. My car broke and that broke down. They acting up on the job. My son on them children. And what the devil do is try to create a whirl storm to get you to just throw your hands up and say, I ain't going back to church no more. I ain't read my Bible no more. No. Be not deceived. You just got deceived. You are forfeiting your harvest because there's a due season. Shout, there's a due season in my life. Every promise I've stood on, every confession I made, every seed that I sow, there's a time and a season to harvest it, and I refuse to quit, and I cannot be defeated. I don't care how I feel. Because you get tired. That's what weariness does. Look at Isaiah 50. You got to keep sowing good seeds regardless. God set a universal law in motion in Genesis 8:22 called seed, time, and harvest. Seed, give it time, and harvest. And it says it never ceases. I remember when God began to, as a young man, when God began to have visions back in the 70s and 80s about what all this God was going to do. And I just thought it was going to happen like this. He didn't show me all the battles, all the fights, all the times, all the weariness, all the pain, all the misunderstanding, all the coming and going that came along with it. You know, when the Bible says, write the vision, make it plain. And it says in the end, it'll speak. You know why God don't show you the middle? Because you say, I don't want it. Now, keep it. He'll show you where his eyes going to turn out. He didn't show you all the hell that's going to come in between right up to the end. That's why a lot of people never see the end. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts I think toward you. Thoughts are good and not evil to give you a good expected end. God is smart. Because if he would have showed me all the million visions, he just showed me buildings and people coming out. Whoa, whoa, my glory be to God. He didn't show me all the haters and all the... Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. But there is a due season. And don't let the devil deceive you. Just keep doing well, best you know how. Don't get deceived and quit. Get tired, get wore out, lose heart, and become discouraged. What's the use of going to church? Look at this, look at that, look at that. You're forgetting about what God has already done. Are you listening to me? Look at Isaiah 50. And I'll be honest with you, that's why the ministry, every time I get a break, I'm going to enjoy it because I know his work all in between. Some of you think this is easy. I wouldn't mind a hat, Pastor John. No, you don't. Number one, you ain't called to do it. Number two, it takes an anointing to do this. You try to do what I do without being called to it, they will have to put you in a rubber room and put a straight jacket in you. You can't do this in natural strength. Take supernatural strength. Take the supernatural power of God. Come on to church when you don't feel like coming. To shout when you don't feel like shout. Preach when you don't feel like preach. Usher when you don't feel like. Some of you know what I'm talking about. We walk by faith and not by sight. Some of you didn't feel like coming this morning, but you here and now you're glad you pressed your way. I don't care what happened. You have to learn how to press your way, regardless of what you feel. Feelings will change. They're temporary. They're fleeting. Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't. Isaiah 50. Look at verse 4. One verse. The Lord have given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh me morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as the learn. You just got the scripture, the key to how I know what to preach every Sunday, every Tuesday. Because first of all, you gotta have the right word in the right season. The Holy Ghost knows what season you're in right now. He knows what words you need. I ain't that smart. So I have to pray, and God gets me up and say, all right, I'm meditating, sitting there, put this down, put that down. And I'm trusting God for every word that I'm hearing, the ear of discipline, to write down everything that you need to hear. And a lot of times you might say, well, that ain't going on in my life right now. You know what God do? He's preparing you for next week. You still need to hear. Because there's a battle. The enemy right now is sitting back making an attack on next week on your job. And now time God will get ahead of the trial, ahead of time. So you already be built up, already got the right word in the right season. So when that devil rear his head on your job, you know exactly what to do. When that doctor's report come, you know exactly what to do. That's the most powerful thing there is. The right word in the right season. How many know you can have the right word but in the wrong season? Some of you husbands know what I'm talking about. NFL started today. You get your food ready to eat, watch down your favorite team. 49ers, Dallas, whoever. KC Chiefs, whoever. Then what am I? We don't enter the garbage. That's it's the right word, but it's the timing is off. But it stinks. Now look, I ain't gonna finish that. Some of you, that thing won't stop. You might have to call the EM truck to your house. I'm gonna do it. Men need to know how to speak the right word in the right season. Amen. You want your wife to do something? Don't wait until that time. Month she's tired, wore out, done did everything, smell like fish grease, been cooking all that. You talking about come on, baby. What? What? Wrong season. You got to sow the seed in order to reap the harvest. So what you do, you go and take out to the restaurant, nice atmosphere. I'm not talking about no Carl Hardee's or McDonald's. I'm talking about atmosphere, the undercurrent, little music going, you know, somewhere really nice. See, when you go to those places and you got someone playing the violin and someone is nice and everyone is dressed up, you're not really, that steak and that fish don't cost that much. You are paying for atmosphere. Because atmosphere, feelings follow atmosphere. You create the right, you're trying to change the feeling. And then you say, oh, and by the way, didn't you want to go by and see this so-and-so, I saw this so-and-so, and you go by the favorite song, and you buy that thing. I just seen this. And then she goes, oh, I've been wanting that. I'm going to thank you. Now, what you're doing, you're setting the atmosphere. Hallelujah. Huh? And by the way, don't you like, would you want to stop by cookouts? I know you like so-and-so, that shape, this kind, and I just went on and bought it. Then you sow the seed. Now, babe, you know, I've been thinking about tomorrow going with the guys to so-and-so. And would that be all? Oh, go, baby. Yeah, hallelujah. See, the right season. You got to understand the right word. Men and women. Now, what God does, he know we all go through that. We got married folks, single folks, folks on jobs, bills, problem kids. So what I do is pray, and I say, God, what is it? And God give me messages like this. That's why, for how many of you, and don't do this to make me feel good. I don't need you to support my ego, but if it's the truth, how many of you, at least one time or another, every time you come here, whatever you are going through, one way or another, God has me preach on it, teach on it. It was like Pastor had to know, because you were weary, you were tired, you were thinking about giving up. Matter of fact, you had to press your way, but when you get here, all of a sudden, God renews your strength and say, devil, get out of my way. I'm going on, because that weariness got, because you got the right word in the right season. That's why it's so important to come to church. Thank God for you that are streaming. This is what the devil tried to do during the pandemic when it first started, to separate us. Not so much from one another, but from the presence of God and the word of God coming live. We were all depressed. Couldn't go, restaurant shut down, this shut down, no sports, no moving, no nothing, no this and that. And we was forced into relationship. You had to have conversations with people you didn't even know. What you doing home? Why, I'm out of school, they shut it down. Right, you got festival. Wife was home, and the kid was working from the house. Get out of here, we eat. You better go get you some beanie weenie. I mean, stuff was just, cause you wasn't used to them being there. Why I gotta deal with you? Because you used to go on this, kid in school, nobody had, you could get by. Because by the time they come in, you sleep, you have to deal with all that drum. Whew. But then God, little by little, began to bring us back into the local assembly. All of a sudden, this pop up, that popped up, people in the back. What's that? God is setting us up for the right word, for the right season. This is why it's so important to forsake not the assembly of yourselves together, one with another. There are certain things you can't get at home, and thank God for streaming, keep doing it, that you get in the live assembly. You can say what you want, no more than you could admit that when your kid was staying home by virtual learning, they didn't do as good as they did sitting in the presence of that physical teacher. It was a disconnect there. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's why God told Jeremiah, who was a weeping prophet, when he thought about quitting, said, you deceived me. I ain't preaching no more. I quit. He got tired. But God says, get up from there, boy. Go down to the potter's house, and there I'm going to speak to you. Why couldn't he just speak at home? Why couldn't he speak streaming? Because it's about atmosphere. This is the potter's house. This is where God put us back together again. This is where weariness get off of us. This is where we are recharged. This is where we get stirred. This is where God, all of a sudden, our destiny changed. And when he got down there, the Bible says there was a potter. He worked a work on the wheel and said that the image was marred. But he took the same clay. That image represents your life. When you look like you lost your vision, look like nothing is going right. I'm tired. Look at my kids. Look at this job situation. And he took that same clay and began to reshape and remold it. And he made a beautiful vessel. And God spoke to him there and said, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. I may not be what I want to be, but I thank God I'm not what I'm used to be. God is still working on all of us, praise God. And if we'll learn to come on the church, he'll give a word to the weary in the right season. Your best sermon could be the one the day you stayed home. The Holy Spirit gives you then a pastor with the right word in the right season. He said, I've got the ear to learn. That's why it's so important who you sit under. Some people just preaching to be preaching. Not a lot of preachers don't study. It should be evident I'm in the word because you're getting fed. Some preachers preach just like it's a hobby, or just like it's some type of going to work. Well, I got to do my job. Get up just something to get the tithes and go on. We need more than that. We need someone that's been in the presence of God. We need someone that's been laboring before God. God, what is it? What is it that I need to say? What is the word in this season? What's going on in my congregation? The Holy Ghost knows who's coming. He knows who's in the balcony. He knows how to deal with your child. He knows what you need to hear concerning finances. He knows what you need to hear concerning marriage. And one way or another, God, if we learn to press our way, the Holy Spirit gives us a pastor with the right word in due season. I'm talking about when you're at the end of the rope and the rope done broke. How many of you know? And when that rope done, not, you know, you can cut a rope and it's got different strands. You know, it ain't the full rope twisted anymore. Sometimes you're hanging on by a strand. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you're frustrated, everything going wrong. And this has happened, that has happened. And you're feeling tired and you're feeling pressure. And you come to church with this attitude. Now you tell God, God, if I don't get something today, you're going to have to do something today in my life. And when you get to that point, I guarantee you that word will be waiting on you. So your provision is where God tell you to go. That's why you can't let mama, daddy, my cousin don't like that, they want me. You better go where God told you to do. Get up, Elijah. Go down to the brook Cherith, because there I commanded the ravens to sustain you. Your provision is in the place where God told you to go. I don't like that brook. I don't like that place. You better do what God told you. He's trying to set you up for a breakthrough. First Chronicles, 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, 5, and 6. I'm going to throw my name in there. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? Who is Pastor Diggs? But ministers whom you believe, even as the Lord gave, hold that, to every man. God gives every person, someone, a preacher, a man of God to speak into their life. Your job is to find out who he gave you. Because your deliverance, your breakthrough, your anointing, your peace, your joy, your debt cancellation is going to be in the mouth of the one God gave you. Not the one who mama like, not the one who so-and-so like, but mama and them don't like them. You better go where God gave you. Now go to the next verse. You know why? He said, I planted, Apollos water, but notice who's going to get increase. Your increase is in the mouth. Under the anointing of the one. God will give you increase in your finance, increased joy, increased peace. It's under the one God gave you. Your debt cancellation. Everything you need to deal with is in the mouth. But what we do is we trying to please everybody in the family. Mama and they don't like that chair because they're too full. We have to drive all the way. We have to drive 45 minutes. You looking for a convenient church. I'd rather drive an hour and 45 minutes with life than to drive 15 minutes with death and traditions of men. Because I need something I got to live off of during this week. I'm going through some things with my kids and my finances and my body. And the doctor told me I can't live off no eeny, meeny, miny, mo. I need a word from God. I need someone that's been in the presence of God. I need to be in a place where there's an anointing to remove burdens and destroy you. I need to be healed of a disease, praise God. I don't want to hear about God made you sick to teach you something. I need the correct word in the right season in my life. Now put up the other scripture, which is Romans 10:14. How shall they call on him whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall he preach except he be? Not went, not just inside the church. Some of you underwent ones, and that's why you're starving spiritually. Instead of getting under the sent one, who's the one that God sent to you? When God sends a preacher, he sends a word. God says, Moses, I'm going to send you, but I'm not just going to send you. I'm going to send you with a word. I want you to go down to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. You're the sent one. Don't worry about the miracles. Don't worry about the signs, because I have already equipped you. When I sent you, I equipped you with everything that it takes. I know what the people need to hear. I know that word is going to bring deliverance. And when you're sitting under the sit one, it'll be a right word in the right season. I'm talking about it hit your spirit, and all of a sudden your days of sickness and disease is over. Fear goes out the door. Depression has to get off of you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because I've heard from God. How beautiful. As it is written, are the feet. The feet. He's talking about not a video. He ain't talking about a DVD. They don't have feet. I watch television. How beautiful. He's talking about the pastor whom God gave you, and you're sitting in his presence. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of shalom, peace, nothing missing, nothing broken, and bring glad tidings of good things. We don't need no bad news. We got enough bad news. All y'all do is turn on CNN and Fox and ABC and everybody fussing and fighting and this and that and sickness and disease and death and murder. I need to be under somebody's feet that is preaching good news, where there's healing, hope for my children, hope for my finances, hope for my marriage, hope for whatever I need, praise God. I need some good news, so I'm going to be like Mary instead of Martha, and I'm going to sit at Jesus' feet and hear the word. One thing is needful. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Good news. Good news. Good news. Good news. Good news in a world that's dying. Good news in a world that's hateful. Good news in the midst of division. Good news in the midst of high prices and lack and. Good news in the midst of recession and all of this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel. Good news to the blind. Blind man, you ain't got to stay blind anymore. Both in the natural spirit. Good news to bind up the broken heart. If your heart been broken and someone, thank God there's healing for your heart. To set at liberty those that's been bruised. If you've been bruised and hurt and betrayed, praise God, there's a healing, there's an anointing. Huh? To tell those that are bound that the prison doors will be open. If you're bound by sickness, drugs, alcohol, there's good news. You can leave here free. How beautiful are the feet? Your feet become beautiful to the people you minister to. They see you in the mall and they go running to you. Everybody's feet ain't beautiful. I mean, you know, there's some folks in the grocery store. You go, oh, God, Jesus Christ, Lord, how much? Let me go to this, because I know they got something bad to say. There she go. There he go. You jump to the next aisle. Whew, let me hear her up and check out, get out here, because I don't even want to hear it. Drama all the time. Bad news. Thank God for call waiting. That's why they put it up there. Well, you see, they all straight. Their name be straight. You see, oh, Jesus. God. Block, mute, ignore. Why? You're trying to protect your peace. I don't need no more bad news. See, people are either drainers or they're pumping life into you. You got to decide who around you. And some folks that you know drain you, always takers, this and that. Drama, drama, drama. And you notice you were feeling good till you got there talking to them, didn't you? Oh, my head hair. You got an ideal. Man, what? No, so that's why you need to come to church. Isaiah 40, drop back. I ain't going to be before you long because it's a busy week and I don't plan on preaching long because I need to serve my energy, to be honest with you. Drop back 10 chapters, Isaiah 40. So God don't want you to get weary in well-doing. Keep on coming to church. Keep on getting to work. Keep on reading your Bible. Don't let somebody or something drain you. Your breakthrough could be this close. And there are seasons in all of our life. Like I said, I've had them. That's why I can preach it so good. I had one season. I had quit. I told God, don't talk to me. I quit. How many of you know God does not accept resignations? Let me help you. If you really call, you can't resign. God said, oh, he started laughing. And I got in my car and said, I'm on my way to Jamaica. I quit. And that was the Sunday I was still to preach. I was leaving that night. Have 7 pounds. I don't know how, don't ask me how I'm going to get to Jamaica going down 85, but I'm going to get to Jamaica. 85 south. I know it's south. I know it's down there. I know eventually I'm going. I decided if I have to get a boat when I get to wherever, but. And I'm running out of gas. Got past Columbia, South Carolina. Holy Ghost said, boy, you better turn this car around. It was feeling good. I mean, you know, pity party feel good. I was thirsty. I stopped it. It was a little quick pick store, get me a soda. And, yeah, but those old machines, you know, about it, you know, put it. And my soda didn't come out. I put it in 50 motion, and it took that. I started rocking that. Bam! Bam! They probably would have put me in jail. Look like I'm breaking. But I didn't care. Because I don't feel good right now. I'm quitting the ministry, so it doesn't matter. And I kept rocking that thing, and all of a sudden, I hit the jackpot. Quarter stop. I mean, I don't know what happened to that thing. I put it, man, about $7-$8. I know what it's called. Did I pick up the money? Yes. What I did with it, I end the story there. You got to remember, I'm depressed. I'm just going to end the story. And you done did something too, so don't be looking at me. When you're tired, you don't care. Shouldn't have stole my first 50 cent. Make a long story short, it was like fire shut up in my bones. I was just tired. I mean, no, come on. I'm telling my story to help some of you. Because you ain't the first one who thought about changing your identity, moving to another country. I know I ain't the first one thought that. I'm just getting out of here. And I ain't telling nobody. And see, because I just was tired because I felt like the people didn't understand what I was going through. So I wanted them to hurt on Sunday. I wasn't even telling them I'm coming. They were going to all come like y'all and they were wearing Pastor Ed. I went, God says, boy, you better get yourself back. And I talk about the goodness of God. I was just tired and weary. That's why I can preach this so good. And I'm so glad I didn't quit because look at all of you. Look what's all ahead of you. Look at there. Matter of fact, Shabbat take care of my tata. Holy Ghost told me to read this testimony I got, an email. I was going to read it before. He said, no, I want you to read this doing live streaming because there are people out there I want y'all to hear it. This is an email. Email from Natasha Bullock. Good evening, Pastor Ronald and Joyce Diggs. I hope this email finds you well. Last week, August the 24th, 2022, my son, Tyreek Stewart, was admitted to Moses Cone Hospital in ICU. He was not receiving air in his lungs and had to be put on a ventilator. They gave him medication to paralyze and propofol to keep him asleep. Of course, it was a medically induced coma. On August the 7th, he tested positive for COVID. And they assumed that first he had it, and they were saying, well, it's COVID. Then they said it's asthma attack. And after a day or so, they said it was more the asthma than the COVID, or a combination of them both. I would play for him your Spotify podcast. This is the teaching, that some of the messages that, and she used this message. Your message, the faith stand, faith that stands alone, and the power of prayer. I would play it for him every day and night before I left his bed. Today, a week later, he woke up. He was off the ventilator. He's breathing on his own. The doctor said he had it. Doesn't look good, but God says he's a healer. Thank you for your teaching. Thanks for your touching my life with your teaching. And it's because of you, I was spiritually ready to pray and know how to pray healing over his body. Each day seemed like a war, but I'm a soldier on the battlefield. Total healing is his and first and his, and that I know. Thank you for your ministry. Now, when you read that, I don't care how tired you get. If it's just one person, a person on a ventilator, man could give it up to die. She was just playing my teaching. I wasn't even there in the flesh, night and day. And that boy woke up and now he's healed. Let me tell you something. God knows how to break that weariness. If there's nobody else, when you get testimonies like that, you realize I can't quit. People don't always tell you the effectiveness in your life. But if it's just one person, someone else is depending on you. That's what I'm trying to say. You don't know what you're forfeiting when you throw in the towel. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 40. Let me close. Isaiah 40. That's why the devil wants you to quit. It ain't about you. It's other people connected to you. Lives you touch, just because you ain't heard them, they out there. You're making a difference in people's lives. Isaiah 40, look at verse 28 through 31. Now here we go. Has thou not known? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither does he get weary. There's no searching in his understanding. He giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might. Mm-hmm. He does what? Increases strength. When you get tired, God says, I'm not fainting. Just because you want to give up and quit, I see the end result. My house going to be full. You're going to make it. And if you need power, I'll give power to the faint, them that have no might. He increases strength. Even a youth, yes, shall faint and get weary. But the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait, expect hope on the Lord, shall renew their strength. Just keep on coming to church. Just keep on hearing the word of God. A due word in due season. And they will mount up with wings as an eagle. They will run and be not weary. They will walk and not faint. He says, I promise to renew your strength. Hallelujah. You'll mount up with wings like an eagle. That's why it's so important to come to church, because that mount up is in the... Matter of fact, let's read it from the Amplified so I can show it to you. That shit, man. Amplified. Have you not heard? Have you not, the everlasting God, the Lord, the ends of the earth does not faint nor grow weary. Just because you get tired, you get fed up. And God says, no, we gonna win. There is no searching in his understanding. Mm-hmm. He gives power to the faint and the weary. We're talking about overcome. When you tired, mentally, emotionally, and to him that had no might, he increases strength, causing it to multiply. Anyone felt the multiplication while you were sitting here? I'm talking about since you've been sitting here. You came in one condition, but all of a sudden something's happening on the inside, changing your attitude on the outside. That's God multiplying strength, making it abound. Even young youth shall faint and be weary, and selected young men shall feebly stumble and fall exhausted, tired. But those who wait, I want you to see what wait means. And those who expect, how many are expecting God to move anyhow? Look for, how many are looking for God? Hoping in, expectation, shall change and renew their strength and power. They will lift up their wings and mount up close to God as the eagle mount up close to the S-U-N, son. We mount up close to the S-O-N, son. There's a transformation in the presence of God when you refuse to quit and you ain't got no might and your bills and problems and kids and marriage and stress and I'm tired and you've been through divorce and all this and this and bills and all that, yeah, and why should I come to church? And but you got in his presence and all of a sudden you begin to wait, and in his presence you begin to mount up to the S-O-N, son, and the Bible says they will run in and be not weary, and they shall walk and not faint or become tired. In other words, the eagle is a very unique bird, praise God. When all the storm, and we see all the clouds and the buildup and all that, we've seen it this weekend, all the rain and storms coming in, and the lightning and activity, especially during the last month or so, afternoon thunderstorms and lightning and cracking and different type of clouds. We see dark clouds coming, praise God. And you know, down here you got all the different other animals, the goats and the chickens I'm using chickens because we're talking about birds because they scare. They go to the chicken coop house but he didn't say you're gonna mount up like chickens. He said you're gonna mount up like the eagle. The eagle is unique. He's not down there with dirty birds and crows and all them crackling crows. And he sits high. He sets his nest high up in the nest, praise God. And when he has tunnel vision, he can see up to 2 miles. And so where everybody, you think Doppler radar, son, he can see it 2 miles away. And he sees it coming, and everybody else is taking cover. And instead of running from the storm, he locks his wings like an airplane dude that's taking off in an upclined fix. You know what I'm talking about? You ever been on an airplane and you see those ailerons go down? It uses that wind to begin to mount up. And the more you go down that runway, the faster it gets. It uses the adversity of the wind to lift the plane. When the storm is coming and when the devil is bringing a storm in your life, God says in his presence, you'll lock your wings on the word of God. And what was meant to destroy you will actually cause you to go up. That eagle begins to ascend. He mounts up high above the clouds, high above the storm. And he goes through the clouds and get in the presence of the S-U-N, son. And when he gets in the presence of the sun, there are healing rays in the sun. He's eating some type of bad type of meat and he's sick, but in that presence, praise God, there's renewing. His strength gets strong, his feathers get strong. And while he's circling in the presence of the sun, and we're going through all the storm down here, when the storm moves, he just descends, praise God. And what was meant to destroy him, when everything else is gone, he's still standing. I want you to know, praise God, if you don't run, if you will face your storm, God says, I will cause your strength to multiply in the presence of your weakness or whatever you're going through. And what was meant to destroy you, you will soar up over it, praise God. In other words, it didn't come to stay, it came to pass. But people quit. People give up. And God says there's a renewal process. Matter of fact, you can't get renewed unless there is a storm. I'm not saying God send a storm. Don't worry, the devil gonna send it. But you might as well use it to your advantage. Let me get in the word. Let me come on the church. God, give me a due word in due season. I know what's been going on this week. I know what happened with sister so-and-so. I've been knowing with finances, all this stuff. But instead of getting caught up and tired, I know God must have a word for me. And I came to church and here's pastor preaching exactly what I needed to hear. I'm glad I pressed my way. I'm glad I didn't let adversity stop me, praise God. Because there's something in his presence. in his presence is fullness of joy. And in his right hand are pleasures. You can't get that at home sitting on the couch. Yay! Do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? I'll feel no evil, for thou art your presence. Your presence. Your presence. That's what this pandemic was trying to kill, the presence of God. Because when we come together, where two or three are gathered together, there I am. There I am, said, I'm going to get in your midst. I just need two of you to show up. I don't need 10,000. I just need two of you, and I'll get in your midst. Anything you agree on, it'll be done in my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered, there I am. I'll be right there with you. I can get you the money. I can heal your body. I can change your child. Don't you quit. Don't you dare give up. You come on the church anyhow. Amen. Even since I've been preaching, that strength has come on me. Because I'll be honest with you. This week I was feeling drained mentally because stuff was hitting me. And I'm a real pastor, and it's hard not to care for people that you love. And I realize I can't do all this, God. That's where this message is beginning to grow. Don't you get weary. It's just a season in your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, wait on God. Let me close. Wait on God like you do a waiter or waitress. How many of you ever gone to Red Lobster before? Longhorn. Okay, I ain't seen a hand yet, so let me help you. McDonald's. Because some of you are like, you a little over my head there. It's a little rough right now. So. But the main thing is somebody came to wait on you. May I help you? That's all I'm trying to get to, because I might not got no head. And that's how you know you're going to serve. It's not a matter of when. It's a matter of when. And someone will come to the server, come out, may I help you? Yes, I'll have lobster, shrimp, mashed potato. No butter, please. Yes, sir, anything else? Iced tea with extra lemon. And you? I will take calabash shrimp, and let me have red snapper. Anything else? I don't want mashed potato, let me have a baked potato. Drink? Just ice water, thank you. And they go to the back. Now you're waiting. Are you kind of hoping? Lord, I hope I get something. Lord, I hope I. No, it's just a matter of time. You go to the Word of God. You go to the Scripture. You put in your order. Father, you said by stripes you were healed. Father, whatever it is, here's the recipe book. Hallelujah. Are you listening? This is the menu. You said whatever, ask the Father in Jesus' name, you'll do it. And once you do it, you wait. It's just a matter. Don't get tired. Don't get weary. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever he said, he'll do it. If you faint not, there's a due season. Psalms 27, verse 13 and 14. I have fainted. How many of you felt like fainting before? Everybody put your hand up. Just for the sake, because I'm asking you to do it. Because if you haven't done it, you will one day. Because that sometimes there's enough stuff to say, man, to hell with this. I told you about my faint. I was on my way to Jamaica. I had fainted that day. I ain't studying nobody. Isn't it amazing when you get tired, you only think about yourself? You forget about the needs of other people. Who's depending on you? I had fainted unless I believe to see the goodness of the Lord. Not when I die and go to heaven, right here in the land of the living. Keep going. Wait on the Lord. There's that word, expect, hope, look for, and be of good courage. I know you're tired. I know you're weary. And he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say on the Lord. Look at this from the Amplified. It gets better. What would have become of me? Think about it. If you would have quit, you would have gave up. If you would have gave in to the pressure. If you would have just quit, just stayed outside the will of God because you got tired, because you got hurt, because somebody disappointed you, because you amused, misbehaved. What would have become of me had I not believed to see the Lord's goodness right here in the land of the living? Wait, hope, and expect from the Lord. Be brave and of good courage. Let your heart be stout and enduring. Yes, wait, hope for, expect from the Lord. In other words, don't get weary. Everyone is in expectation, though. I'm expecting God to move on my child. Move on my job. Them haters, God is going to make my enemies footstool. I ain't going to walk on, quit, nothing. I'm going to let the devil move them out. God didn't tell me to leave, so I ain't going to. Don't never do nothing under pressure because somebody putting you under pressure. I don't care what it is. Buy something, sell something. I'm coming to get it. Well, then fine. If it's for me, it'll be there. I ain't going to make no decision. I'll wait until I get peace. Be still and know that it's God. Huh? And we keep on coming to church. Some of you came in expectation this morning. And I believe while you're sitting here, God is moving on your kids, family, finances, money, because you're expecting, because you're doing the right thing. You're not fainting in due season. There is a due season, praise God. And you shall reap if we faint not. That's why it's good to expect and wait on God the same way. Now, look at Philippians. I'm closing. Chapter 2. Quick version. See, we mount up. That eagle said, I ain't going nowhere. See, that's the problem. Some of you are going to have to quit running with jive turkeys. You're an eagle Christian. Turkey can't fly. I mean, he can get off, but he can't fly long. He's too heavy. Too much baggage. Some of your friends got too much baggage. They'll pull you down. Trying to run with it, fly with a turkey. Eagle like, I can't take you on the back. I can't breathe. It's too high up here. That's because you don't belong with me. See, there are some people you'll step above your commitment to God. Don't try to hold on to a lower nature, cardinal relationship, and try to pull a turkey up where only eagles can fly. That man is a turkey. A jive turkey. So that woman, it ain't just men now. There's some women that put Jezebel told Sam. I mean, not Jezebel. Well, yeah, but anyway, that's a whole nother spirit. Deliah told Samson, boy, I'm going to flick you. If a woman tell you what her plan is, leave her alone. Quit dating her. You won't tell me on your heart. If you love me, you would tell me so that I can flick you, beat you up, kick you to the curb, knock you. And he still laid up. That's it. That's a fool. He should have been left alone. Anyway, see, some stuff is self-induced. All the signs are there, but you like a lamb led to the slaughter. Okay, but do what you want to do. I'm trying, God to show you stuff, but sometimes, you know, they say love is blinding, but marriage is an eye-opener. Oh, my God. I didn't know you were like that. Yeah. I got a button about 5 years ago. See, you never know when you catch someone on their own season. There's some people who go through months of depression. Then they have high times. You might have met them on the high season. You better wait for that downswing. Because Now I'm just saying, give it time. Give it time. That thing, that wolf will start howling. All right, let me close. Philippians chapter 2. I love all y'all. I'm just trying to help. But wasn't that an awesome testimony? God. I mean, that was just one. There's about many. And the Holy Spirit said, you read that during the live thing. Okay, what did I say turn to? You got it? Okay, let me get it. All right. Philippians 2 and what? 13. Philippians. Okay. 2:13. Ready? Let's all read it together. For it is God which worketh in you both the will to do and to do his good plan. Who is working in you? Where do you work from the inside out, don't we? We get tired in the flesh, but God works in us. Even when you want to quit, God says, can y'all put this up in Amplify? Look what the Amplify says. I'm going to get real close. Oh, Jesus. I'm trying to. save a few minutes. A couple of people noted that I've been preaching a little longer. I'm trying to keep everybody. Not in your own strength. How many of you know your strength can be gone? For it is God. So that means it wasn't you. Sometimes you ever wonder how you got over. All the hell you've been, here you are sitting here in the, and you kind of like surprise yourself. That wasn't your strength. That wasn't you. That was God. God brought you here, literally. Not in your own strength, for it's God who was all the while effectually working in you, energizing, creating in you the power and the desire. You ever lost your desire and said, forget it, I'm tired. And God says, that's you on the outside, but I'm going to keep working with you from the inside. Both to do what? His will, his work, his good pleasure, and satisfaction of life. That's why I couldn't go to Jamaica. For good. It was God working in me. I would go on one. He said go right, I went left. But he won. Here I am. Thank God he works in me. He ain't gonna let you go. Put up this statement. Yeah, man, koshkabata. So even when you won't quit, God will re-energize you. You ever seen that energizer buddy? He just keep going and going and going and going. He been going and God. Sometimes your own energy, sometimes you get so tired, devastation, heartache, disappointment, betrayal can hurt you. Sometimes you just like, and God said, you going to church and you going on anyhow. That was God. Even when you want to quit, God will energize us. Thank God. He energized. Jeremiah 20, verse 9 and 10. Here we go. Jeremiah was like that. We talked about him. I ain't preaching no more. Seemed like every time God told him to go to him and preach, they either threw him in prison, wanted to kill him, something bad was happening. It's like, my God. So he said, well, guess what? I'm not going to mention your name. I ain't preaching anymore. That was me. Well, don't speak anymore in his name. And my mind and my heart, it was as if I was there, and he said, but there was a burning fire working in me. Shut up in my bone. And I'm weary of enduring and holding it in. I cannot contain it any longer. I want to quit, but I can't. And then I heard, and this is why. Watch this. For I heard the many whispering. Sometimes it's just so much haters and folks that's against you and this. And they can, enemies can wear you out and make you tired. Huh? If you let them. Whispering and defaming. There is terror on every side of him. Denounce him. Let us denounce him. Says all my friends. Well, when you got friends like that, you don't need a devil. They who watch for my fall. They weren't waiting on me to go down. Perhaps he will be persuaded and deceived, and we will rebel against him. When we'll get our revenge. See, that's what make you tired. But even in the midst of your enemies, God will revive you. Folks is waiting on you to fall. You ain't going down, you're going up. You ain't going under, you're going over. God says, I ain't going to let you fall. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. And I've said sometimes that's one thing, just the enough stuff. And then you got the enemies outside. I'm like, what the? I didn't cuss, you did. But, forget this. I'm just being human. Sometimes nobody else don't care. Throw up your hands in the air like you don't care. But God will re-energize. I'm going to close with this. Praise God. Look up. Weariness then weakens your resistance to opposition. Never give up. Never quit. Resist. That's all it does. Once you get so tired, man, I might as well go on and get drunk. Yeah. Yeah, why not? One sin lead to another. You did that, you might as well go on and get drunk. I might as well smoke the joint. And what's happening? The devil is little by little leading you back into destruction. One sin. When you get tired, you don't care. You start doing crazy stuff. I might as well watch that. I might as well do all that stuff that you said you wouldn't go. And I know I'm talking to someone in here. Huh? What? Trying to weaken your resistance. So never quit, never give up. I'll leave you with this. Hebrews 12. Verse 3 and 4. I'll leave the example of Jesus. Just think of him talking about Jesus that endured against sinners grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself. Reckon it all up. Think about what he went through on the cross. Consider it all in comparison what you think you're going through now, so that you may not grow weary and exhausted, losing heart, relaxing and fainting where? Mental burnout. You have not struggled, fought, agonized against sin. You've not resisted to the point of pouring out your own blood. In other words, Jesus didn't give up on you. He poured out blood for you. And because he didn't give up on you, you can't give up on him. He's dependent on you. He expects you to overcome. He expects you to keep coming to church. He expects you to keep dancing. He expects you to keep reading the word. I don't care how to consider Jesus. He didn't quit on you, so don't quit on him. Y'all get anything out of this? I'm right on time. I'm just going to stop. You can stand on your feet. Go on and stretch, because I know some of you need to get some circulation to your maximum gluteus max. That sounds like one of those guys on the 300, and you know, remember those, you know, them guys like Russell Crowe, what was that movie? Gladiators, Glutimus Maximus, Mark Pontius, and Gluteus Maximus. That sounds like one of them names should be on there, don't it? Yeah. Gone in shape. Listen, folks, I'm just going to put it simple. Everyone I see today, I ain't worrying about who's not here. That ain't got nothing to do with it. I want to see you again. Don't you quit. I see you, everybody in the back, I see you. You keep coming to church. I don't care what you do. You, everyone I see down here, I see everybody to the back. I want to see you. Where are you going to be 3 months from now? You going to quit because someone else quit? That's what we do. Don't connect your commitment to someone else. That's what we do. I'm going to say something even to a husband and wife. If you have to come along for a while. I'll love you from now. I'm going to still cook. I'm going to still be nice. But I'm going to church. You ain't going to separate me from my strength. Now, I'll help you get out of what you're doing, but if we both sit home in that, we both in trouble. We need God. Don't quit. Don't give up. These are the last hours, man. The signs of the time. Paul said in the last days, perilous time. They're already here. All this drama on television, all you ain't got time to be sucking and mad. This foolishness, distractions. Focus in on Jesus. Focus in on the word. Quit. Denying yourself and being negligent of time with God. That's where burnout comes from. When you get so busy, you ain't got time to read the word. Listen to a CD. Strain. Then the enemy hits you with something. You're tired. Man, he'll try to set it all up for that one moment. Weakness, because all he wants is your concession. I quit. It's too much. I can't take this. Have you not heard? Yes, sir. If they're coming for God, bring them on down. If they want to be saved, bring them on down. Well, whatever, just bring them on down. Have you not heard? The God of creation, he neither faints nor get weary. And see, that was just one testimony. I could have bought a lot. But that one was outstanding. This person was on a ventilator in a cell, combing all the guys doing this, playing my CDs. Yeah, I. Oh, this is.